This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A blustery but beautiful Tuesday afternoon. You, me, and the Rooster till 6 o'clock here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. I see Rooster yesterday. We talked, not only we talked football and we recapped Thanksgiving and things of that nature, but we talked Pop-Tarts and new flavors. First of all, since we were not together yesterday, you came on after us. How was your Thanksgiving?
Hi, Pete. Good afternoon. Thanksgiving was okay. I mean, we worked and we watched the Washington football team pull away and beat down the Dallas Cowboys, which, you know, normally you'd be extremely, extremely happy about considering what they went through. Obviously, losing Marcus Paul, you know, you try and have some respect for that situation and just say, look, it was satisfying. It was a win. It was nice. It was nice to see them step on the gas pedal and again pull away and sweep the Cowboys and do all that because it means more meaningful football for us. But yeah, it was nice. I mean, you know, just a bunch of work and football and a little bit of turkey. And I am finishing up the last of my Thanksgiving leftovers right now as we speak. That's lunch today, Pete. How was yours?
Thanksgiving was great for me. Better than your internet connection right now, which is good. The food was tasty. And obviously, you know, we missed that Thursday night football game. And how ironic that Thursday night football game has now obviously affected the Washington football team, because that Thursday night game has still not been played. It certainly, at least at this point, appears as if it will finally get played tomorrow, but because it got pushed to Wednesday, it has now moved the Washington football team's game to Monday night, the early portion of the doubleheader. So if there is a silver lining, the Washington game is the early game coming up on Monday when they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers now at 5 o'clock. I thought you had an interesting take, and, you know, I think it's worth noting that a lot of people and several in this marketplace who have always either by perception had a negative, perception of the Washington football team. It appears as if a lot of people in this market are coming around. You appear to be one of them because you last night defended this and basically have said the Washington football team is kind of getting hosed now by this game getting moved to Monday night. I would like to hear your explanation here as to why they're getting hosed, because I can't imagine a team has been more hosed than the Pittsburgh Steelers have over the last 10 days, but I'm willing to listen.
Sure. Well, I'm not saying that they're getting more hosed than the Steelers. We cover, of course, the Washington football team, and I'm going to always focus, you know, my critiques and analysis more on, from that prism, but understanding that other teams are getting hosed. And I tried to make that clear last night, saying that the Baltimore Ravens and the National Football League have allowed and have screwed over the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Washington football team, the Dallas Cowboys, and NBC, and, you know, quite honestly, the NFL as a whole, all for the sake of playing a game that, quite honestly, they don't deserve to play. Certainly, they don't deserve to win. They haven't earned it. They don't deserve the never-ending, I guess, opportunity to I'm trying to be nice here, to get whatever they want from the NFL, however they need to get it. And so how it affects the Washington football team in a nutshell, Pete, is this. It has no real effect this week, in my opinion, right? Except you get an extra day to prepare for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And because they were coming off the mini bye, they're probably going to be almost too rested, right? But the effect that it has for the Washington football team is next week, when you have to play a Monday afternoon, late afternoon, early evening road game, travel back. Yes, it's not a long trip, but then travel 2,500+ miles on a short week now to Glendale, Arizona, to take on the San Francisco 49ers, who I know have been displaced themselves, but they're practicing in Glendale. They're home on Monday night. Yes, they play on Monday night, but Washington loses that advantage, the Monday night to Sunday turnaround, and as well, now they're on a short week, and they have to do the double travel thing, which the NFL absolutely says to Peter King every year that they hate and that they absolutely don't want any part of. And there's two things at work here. Three consecutive road games, one thing that the NFL says it desperately tries to avoid. Washington was already stuck with that, Pete. But now they have a two-game road trip Monday night, Sunday afternoon, with 2,500 miles plus worth of travel in between from Dulles to Glendale, when they are at the back end of this three-game road trip. So the two scenarios that the NFL says it desperately tries to avoid when making the schedule, one, they had already stuck the Washington football team with, and two, now they've stuck another one with them as well because they bent over and said, you know, thank you, sir, to the Baltimore Ravens. So that's the short story version of how I feel the Washington football team is getting screwed. And if it didn't happen in 2011, 2014, 2016, 2017, and in a variation in 2018, and now again in 2020, I wouldn't be so upset, but I'm upset.
The ironic thing here, too, in all of this, is they made Denver play. And I know Denver did not have the same total amount of positives that Baltimore did. And they made Denver play in a really goofy way this past weekend. The NFL has always prided itself on, you know, and perception and how they're viewed and how they're looked. They put one of their teams at a huge disadvantage this past week. They gave them no mercy, so to speak, in terms of pushing a game back a couple of days so they could have a representative team out there on the football field. So in 2020, you know, I call it pandemic 2020 football. We have certainly seen games moved around at both pro and the college level and some flexibility needed. But, you know, I'm just it really throws me that they went out of their way for Baltimore and essentially gave Denver no mercy whatsoever. You show up this weekend, you play. Oh, by the way, you're playing the Saints. And, of course, the result was pretty predictable for this game. I'm just glad there weren't, you know, 60,000 people in the seats who had to pay, you know, good money to see that. If there's any consolation, Denver fans didn't at least have to pay to watch that game this weekend. That's the thing that throws me about how inconsistent they've been depending on, you know, the make and model of the team and what their, you know, what their COVID-19 issues have been.
No, I understand, Pete. And you know, here's the thing. You and I haven't talked about the Denver mess. I mean, I said on Twitter yesterday, I'm sorry, I don't feel bad for Denver because, again, they were negligent in their own building, no matter what Drew Locke's mom wants to say. They were negligent in their own building, not wearing masks, even though you're being tested. We cannot say it anymore and any more clear that when you're inside a house, a building, an office, whatever, you still need to wear your masks, even if you're being tested daily. They did not. They screwed themselves at one particular position. And obviously, I mean, that's, I think, the difference between Denver and Baltimore is Baltimore was across the board, and we're talking, what, 18 players on the list and several that could get off the list. Like apparently Mark Ingram is going to be able to play tomorrow afternoon, but he's got to travel separately, and J.K. Dobbins. But Lamar Jackson is not going to be able to play. And it was across the board. It was a continuing transmission where apparently, you know, this all came to fruition on Saturday afternoon. Plus the fact the Broncos quarterbacks flat out lied. right? They flat out lied to their team officials. And the NFL had to review videotape, surveillance videotape of what actually happened to get the truth. So I don't have any mercy at all on the Denver Broncos. However, I also don't have any mercy at all on the Baltimore Ravens. I understand they have been more crippled than the Denver Broncos. That's why the Baltimore Ravens were given an opportunity to push the game. I understand that there was absolute negligence on behalf of at least one staff member for the Baltimore Ravens. My understanding is there wasn't complicit negligence, and there wasn't lying, and there wasn't like some willingness or unwillingness to wear masks. It was apparently one rogue employee that kind of ruined the whole thing for everybody, as far as I can tell, and based on what I've read and anybody that I've spoken to. So I think that's what leaves us in a position where the NFL feels it's different between Denver and Baltimore. So I get that. What I don't get is, again, this never-ending, oh, we have to allow Baltimore to play this game. I understand they want to play every game, Pete. I get it. I understand they don't want to play a week 18, but the notion that they've got to play every single game and that they've got to screw with four team scheduling now, all because Baltimore couldn't get their house in order, all because they had a rogue employee, to me is absurd. Again, I don't have a problem with what they did in Denver. Those guys lied. Those guys had to waste everybody's time with surveillance tape. I mean, Drew Locke's mom can go on Twitter and bark and cry and whine all she wants. Hey, tell your son not to lie about wearing his damn mask. Okay. Yeah. So I don't feel bad for anybody in Denver. I don't feel bad at all for the Broncos. Good for Vic Fangio. I don't feel bad for the Ravens either, but unless I'm missing something. Again, this wasn't Lamar Jackson being a dum-dum. This wasn't Mark Ingram being a dum-dum. This was a rogue strength and conditioning coach being a dum-dum, and it infiltrated the whole building. So I guess that's why the NFL is being as patient as they are, even though I don't think it's the right thing to screw over as many teams as they're screwing over.
All right. Got one other thing we got to hit here before the break, and we'll talk about it. I'd love to hear from some callers if you were in play last night with the Eagles at +6.5. Of course, we're brought to you by the good folks at BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Last night, per BetQL, just 22% of the total money wagered backed the Eagles +6.5 against the Seahawks last night. And as we saw, Philadelphia hits the Hail Mary. Richard Rodgers was actually in camp with Washington. His dad's on the Washington staff. He didn't stick here, but he catches the deflection. Now, no team in pro football goes for two more than the Eagles. They're the leaders in that category. But last night, going for two at that time, with still time to have an onside kick on the clock, the Eagles went for two. If they kicked the extra point, they'd have been down 23-16. They'd been down a conventional touchdown at extra point. But they go for two. And my man Josh Ennis, longtime radio host, immediately texted Doug bet on the Eagles. and you know, Chris, I sat there last night probably for a half hour, 40 minutes after the game, just watching people melt down on Twitter and various forms of social media because Doug went for two and got the cover.
Right. And that's
so
a
significant
that
money changed
calls
hands.
Isn't that what Van Pelt calls a bad beat, right?
Yes, and Scotty immediately made light of it at the very beginning of the show last night. But, I mean, significant dollars changed hands there when a coach at an unconventional time went for two to make the spread what he did. And in that case, his team covered the spread. Now, obviously, Doug's never going to tell you that, and the NFL would, you know, get rid of him immediately if that ever came to light. But it just seemed very convenient.
I think we lost Pete again. Let me take over here, and at the risk of being rude, I'll just take us to break. We were talking about the end of the Eagles-Seahawks game. I have a thought coming up on that, which we'll get to. Hopefully we'll reestablish connection with Pete Medhurst. I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you guys with us until 6 o'clock tonight right here, 106.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And I'd love to hear from people last night, either on either side of this thing. If you had Eagles or Seahawks, and just the wave of emotions you go right through in that situation. 1-800-636-1067. That's how you reach us on the AAA Always On Call listener line. As I told you, BetQL only had 22% of the money on Philadelphia at +6.5. I mean, Seahawks were strong play last night. So you can imagine, Chris, how much of that money just went pew as soon as and Seattle showed very little resistance on that 2-point play. As a matter of fact, I mean, Philadelphia basically walked it into the end zone. But I just want to hear from somebody either that got a bad beat or picked up money they thought was going to be down the tubes at that point. When that happened, and like I said, when I saw Josh in his tweet, you know, Doug must have bet on the Eagles,
Yeah. Playfully,
of course,
right,
not in an accusatory way. I did sit there for 30, 40 minutes afterwards and watch people just self-destruct on social media.
So,
in terms of how that happened.
So let me ask you this from a football context, right? Because that's what I'm better at. And by the way, I passed out during this game, so I missed this all. So this was a little bit of a surprise to me this morning when I woke up. Okay. But just so we're clear on a football context, right? Doug's down 23-15 after the touchdown, right?
Correct.
And there's what, 12 seconds left?
12 seconds to go.
Right. Okay. So, from a football theory standpoint, if he kicks the extra point, he's down by 7, 23-16, assuming that the extra point counts. If he goes for 2, he's obviously down by 6. Again, still 12 seconds left. So to me, even though it's a higher percentage to kick the extra point and to get within a touchdown of tying it, Doug's got to be thinking, listen, this is going to take a miracle for me to win this game anyway with only 12 seconds left on the clock. Even if I recover the onside kick, there's what, six seconds left, 7 seconds left, you know, after the possession, maybe 8 seconds, whatever it is, right? 9, whatever way you want to color it. If I'm down 23-15, if I don't make the 2-point, I still need the touchdown and the 2-point conversion. If I'm down 23-16, and I somehow score a miraculous touchdown with 9-10 seconds left after recovering the onside kick, then I'm still down by 7, right? But if I go for the 2-pointer here, the thing I can control more, and if we score, it's 23-17, which is ultimately what it wound up to be. And if I somehow, some way, get the ball back again off the onside kick, all I need is a touchdown to win. To win.
Well,
a touchdown
ties it. I guarantee
then,
he'd have gone. Well, I mean, you could kick it at that point.
Right.
But, I, sometimes in this league, Chris, I wonder if some coaches don't feel they got a better chance from the 2.5-yard line than they do right now with a kicker trying to kick a 33-yard extra point.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. But, I mean, it would be pretty stupid of him, I think, even if he feels that way, to bypass what is considered the, what, 85 to 90%, you know, assured result, I think. I mean, because you're 23-23 at that point. Again, after you go for the two-point conversion, they converted. 12 seconds left, the onside kickoff. I guess the possession doesn't start, or the clock wouldn't start until possession is met by one team or another. So, I mean, you'd probably have, 10, 11 seconds left. If you recover, if you're Philadelphia, and you score another miraculous touchdown, it's 23-23, yes, but I would think, even if Doug feels better about going for a two-pointer than an extra point, he's got a pretty decent place kicker in Elliott. I think he kicks the extra point there
win. I'm just saying, it made you think, because almost I would think, and like I said, Doug goes for two more than any person in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I would think almost every other coach in that situation was kicking in that standpoint.
Yeah.
It just seems awfully coincidental that the two-pointer, and maybe Doug was just doing it to do it. Maybe he was doing it because he was conscious of it. I don't know. But, man, I'd love to hear from some people that lost money, maybe threw a bottle up against the wall. Because, you know, there were some people that did that last night.
Yeah,
that
if you had the Seahawks minus the 6.5, you think you're sitting, you know, fairly good, right? Because, again, the extra point gets you to within 7, and that is the absolute safer call if you're going to make a miracle comeback here. But, like you just said, not only does he go for two, he goes on fourth down a lot.
Yep.
Doug Peterson is a classic definition of what we always talk about with Ron. He is a riverboat gambler, right? He doesn't have the cool nickname. Doug Peterson loves to gamble. So for everybody that is, locked in on the 6.5, right? And I think BetQL had the Seahawks winning the game 72% of the time. They were right on that, based on their simulations. The line had gone from, I think, 3.5 to 6.5 throughout the week as the money came in on Seattle. I'm sorry, maybe I'm too trusting. As much of a gambler as Doug Peterson is, Pete, I can't imagine, and so help us God, if you're that angry, that frustrated, that much proving a point that you want to screw with that many people, if you're Doug Peterson and you're thinking about that at that point. Well, I mean, you've got bigger issues at that
point. And I say it kind of playfully and chidingly, but, man, it just seemed like a hell of a coincidence.
I know.
You know,
it seemed
like a hell of a coincidence last night that happened. I'd love to hear from you if you lost money, or even if you won money, if you secured some cash late in a miraculous way.
Yeah, if you had the birds, sure.
Yeah, 1-800-636-1067. Washington, by the way, according to BetQL, a 10.5-point underdog heading to Pittsburgh next Monday. We'll start to take a deeper dive into that contest as Washington gets to test itself. They went from taking on the outhouse to a team in the penthouse coming up this week. We'll talk about it after the Edge update right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. 1-800-636-1067. That's how you reach us on the AAA Always On Call listener line. Beat on Sports on the Rooster till 5:45. Georgetown and Navy at that time. Keep it locked here to the Fan all afternoon long. We're brought to you by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you did that, 22% of folks had money riding on Philadelphia last night. One of those people that got a miraculous cover was Jeff in Edgewater. He's right down the other end of Muddy Creek Road from me. Jeff, you're on 106.7 The Fan. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Chris? Nice to talk to you.
Chris and Pete. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good, thanks. My sports book had him at -6 before game time, so I teased it. I took the under, and I took Seattle. Fell asleep at the end of the first quarter, woke up a big winner. 500, can't beat it.
Nice. So I was just reading during the break, maybe Pete mentioned this and I missed it, but apparently one bettor that Yahoo put a story out on had $500,000 down on the Seahawks to, you know, minus the 6.5 at 6.5. So he would have won $454,000 if Doug Peterson didn't go for the 2-point count.
Yeah. He obviously doesn't need the money for that.
No. But here's the thing. I don't know about you guys, like, because I'm not a bettor, right? And I'm really trying hard to get into the bet betting side of things, because I realize that's where my industry, our industry, is going, right? And you hear Pete mention all the time, and I've mentioned it, you know, BetQL is a great asset for, you know, that, that Entercom has for us, that they're really trying to build out, and they have great information. I'm trying to get into all of that stuff, but I don't actually bet because I just don't bet, right? But this is the reason why I don't bet. So when this stuff happens, I can only do one thing. I can only just have the most sinister laugh in the world, because this is exactly why I don't bet.
I had Kansas City the other night giving up 3.5 for 500. So, yeah, I've been on both sides of
it. Oh, and they only won 27-24 because, right, Tampa scored a late touchdown.
I teased it. I didn't trust the game, so I teased it so I could make it a pick 'em and push the points up to 54.
I got you. You're hardcore, baby. I like it.
Not really. I was just lucky last night.
I mean, you're more hardcore than I am. I can tell you that much.
I was desperate to win the other money back.
Oh, right.
That's true. You're trying to play catch up.
Exactly.
From Sunday.
And that's what you're not supposed to do.
No, absolutely. Because then you keep chasing it more. Jeff, appreciate the call.
Thank you, Jeff.
Sam in Silver Springs. Sam, you're on 106.7 The Fam.
Hi, how you guys doing?
What's up, Sam? Sam? Come on, Sam. Have some life, Sam. Come on.
Hi. I was just wondering, what's the big deal with Peterson going for two?
Well, there is no big deal. There's a big deal in the gambling community, but there is no big deal from a football perspective, which is why I said what I said last segment, which is I understood what Doug is trying to do, even if it's unconventional. As we kind of explained, he gets to within six, and if he gets a miracle kickoff, onside kickoff recovery and touchdown, then all he needs is a touchdown, the six, to tie and an extra point to win. So I thought it was mathematically and common sense-wise the more sensible thing of the two to do, but a lot of people are upset because it cost a lot of people money.
Chris, wait a minute, hold on. Chris, you're the guy that wants the quarterback to turn around and put the ball in the belly of the running back 25, 30 times a game, and yet you're going to sit here and tell me you think it's sound judgment to go for a two-point conversion instead of a conventional kick at that point, which would have kept it a seven-point game at that point?
No, what I'm saying is it's
31 other coaches in the National Football League are not going for two there. 31 other coaches are kicking the extra points.
I disagree, Pete. I mean, yes, that's the safe call to get within a pure touchdown and even 7 points. But you're living on basically a miracle and a whim and a prayer anyway at that point, right? With 12 seconds left. So the thought has to be, hey, look, if the football gods are on my side, I'm going to get this 2-point conversion and make it six.
But you even just said it's unconventional. You just said it was unconventional.
It is unconventional based on, I think, what the standard norm is, but I don't think it's unconventional, A, for Doug, as we discussed, and B, I think when I think about it, I understand what he's trying to do. I'm not saying that the likelihood of success is higher than an extra point. An extra point certainly has a higher rate of success, right? Or a higher probability of success than a 2-point conversion. But again, what I'm trying to say is with 12 seconds left, Doug's got to be thinking, hey, if I get the two here, if I don't get the two, I'm down by eight and I need the 2-point conversion anyway. So I might as well go for the two now and eliminate that as part of the miracle comeback.
But 90% of football coaches look at it, it's easier for me to get seven than it is for me to get eight.
I get it. But Doug Peterson is not 90% of football. I don't think that's how we won a Super Bowl either.
I agree. But we can understand what he did, but it is controversial because it's unconventional at that point.
No doubt. I understand why it's controversial. But what I'm saying is, as I think about it,
Sam was trying to figure out why people are being so hard on Doug Peterson.
Well, because
and I'm
being
saying
hard
because
on
31 other coaches in that situation are probably kicking the extra point to stay within seven.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with Ron Rivera at MetLife Stadium. Pete, you and I, we talked forever after that game, right? I mean, 95% of coaches are going for the extra point there. Ron didn't. Ron went for two because he wanted momentum and he wanted to control the outcome. Doug is sitting here, and it's obviously a different situation, a very different situation, but Doug is sitting here saying, look, if I'm going to make this miracle comeback, I'm going to go for the two now to eliminate that part of it, and the worst case scenario is, big deal, I need to get the 2-point conversion one way or the other to win this game. And he's like, well, I might as well go for it now because the worst case scenario is I'm down by eight. Not by 9, not by 10. I'm down by 8, worst case scenario, if I don't make it.
Nah, that's true. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. Chris, you're on 106.7 The Fan. Hello.
How's it going, Pistola, Pedro? Look, Brewster, I've been gentle on you the last couple of months, okay? Okay, because I know that, you know, working from home, you don't get to complain about the traffic.
Right.
You don't get to complain about the parking. So there's a little bit of a hole in your soul,
yes,
if you will.
Yes.
And but you do your perennial, let's complain about the football, the Washington franchise's schedule, how grossly unfair it is. Oh, my God, they're playing on Thanksgiving, which only you're literally the only person in the country that complains about that.
Well, because I'm the only smart person.
Again. Right. No. I think seriously, it's just because you'd rather not be watching them and having to work on Thanksgiving. You'd rather be stuffing your
that is a part
hole.
Of it. I'm not going to lie. I mean,
right.
Who wants
okay.
that anxiety and stress?
But, I mean, you keep bringing this up every year.
What do you want from me, Chris? I got to do a million radio shows a year. What do you want me to talk about?
Does it improve your Q rating? I mean,
it's not about Q rating, Chris. It's about it is about, Chris, whether you agree or you disagree with me, and obviously you disagree with me on this, it is something that is legitimate and valid that almost every year, and I've been tracking this for 9 years, okay? Almost every year, the NFL screws the Washington Football Organization, whether they be the Redskins or the team, and for whatever reason they have when it comes to scheduling, period. I have the proof.
They don't deserve any favors.
I'm not asking for favors. I'm asking
franchise.
For fairness.
No.
I'm asking
it's
not to
difficult.
Bend over.
It's very
I'm not.
To
wait, hang on a second, Chris.
Chris.
Chris,
talking. Okay.
Chris, hang on. Would you agree, okay, that the NFL is literally rolling out the red carpet for the Baltimore Ravens here and putting the screws to the Steelers, the Cowboys, and the Washington football team? Or do you not agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that.
Why? Tell me.
I think that...
Tell me.
Because I don't think that they're rolling out the red carpet for the Ravens. I think this is an extremely unusual, once-in-a-century type of season that is going to have unforeseen circumstances, and they're trying to deal with it.
Well,
look, they've got one of their marquee players, the guy who's on the cover of Madden. He won the NFL MVP. They know where their bread is buttered. They need to have that.
Well, he's not even
playing
tomorrow. That's the problem.
But I'm just saying, if the NFL is just as smart as any other league, they're going to showcase their best team.
Yeah,
and Washington is not one of them. Okay, so look, until Washington starts winning, then you could start complaining about the unfair. But the other thing, too, is no one listening gives a crap about a bunch of overpaid athletes who are taking a charter flight across country as if it's not like they're flying Delta in coach. OK, Chris, everybody
no, they're
knows
flying
that.
United
it's not that
in
big
coach.
A deal.
OK,
it's not,
all right. Thank
it's
you,
not
Chris.
That big a deal.
Chris, I love you, even though you're a pain in the ass. I love you. You know, Chris in Hyattsville and I go back and forth, Pete, in case you're not familiar with the war that we have.
Well aware of Chris in Hyattsville.
Yes.
He's probably one of our top callers.
I knew you knew Chris in Hyattsville. I wasn't sure if you knew the war that we have. We spar about almost everything, and he has been nice the last couple of months. He has been patient with me, and I understand I'm hard to deal with. Look, I know nobody cares about, you know, spoiled NFL players having to fly 2,500 miles on a short week. Here's what I'm telling you. It's not only the flying. It's just part of it. When you constantly ask a football team late in the year to play short turnaround weeks, Pete, that has a major impact on who can play, who can recover, how you can practice, how you can game plan, how you can prepare, and how your body holds up not only that game and that week, but the rest of the way when we're talking about especially late November and December. And I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it. Some of it is the Washington's doing, but a lot of it isn't.
And there's no cold tub on any of these charters.
No.
We've all been on these charters.
Yes.
They're very nice, but there is no cold tub for anybody to recover in that they badly need after a lot of these games. More of your thoughts at 1-800-636-1067. It's Pete on Sports and the Rooster. It'll 545 right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. plus 6.5. Thought their money was golden into the final minute of the game. Down to the final minute of the game, the Eagles hit a Hail Mary, and instead of kicking the extra point to put his team within 7, Doug goes for 2, and they walk into the end zone, and it makes the spread 6. And all that cash went to the tasty 22% that bet on the Philadelphia Eagles at that point. 1-800-636-1067. Pete on Sports and the Rooster with you. And, you know, Chris, obviously, you know, the bigger story coming out of that game, by the way, that kind of gets hidden in Doug going for 2. And maybe, you know what? Maybe it was just a strategic move by Doug to draw attention away from his team. Because the bigger question is, what the hell's the matter with their quarterback, Carson Wentz, in Philadelphia?
Yeah, that's the most important question. And that's not going to change or necessarily get any better after last night's performance, right? Because if we sit here and if we think about it, Pete, and I'm glad you brought it up now, you know, you look at the numbers, right? And you say, well, 25 of 45, 215, 2 touchdowns and a pick. That's not awful, right? I mean, it's not good. It might not be awful, ultimately, a quarterback rating of 73.8. But I will tell you this. I missed the first series of the game, and I saw Brian Baldinger do a film breakdown of this last night. The first 3 plays with a struggling quarterback against a very good run defense and a horrific passing defense, Doug Peterson calls pass, pass, pass. Normally, I would be very anti that, but I understood what he was trying to do. And all 3 of those pass plays, Pete, incomplete, and all 3 of them were on Carson Wentz. He was awful accuracy-wise. Awful. I mean, not even like, well, you know, like the receiver should. No. He was hideous, and they were all open. And in a nutshell, I think kind of Doug, when he went back and watched that tape this morning, if he doesn't make a quarterback change at this point and see a quarterback that just doesn't have it anymore right now, the confidence level is gone. I don't know what he's looking at. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure if Jalen Hurts had any level of experience before last night, that they probably would have gone to more of Jalen Hurts last night. And again, especially if Seattle wasn't such a great run defense, which is where, you know, I would presume Jalen Hurts is in terms of his development, where he could break you down more that way than necessarily the intermediate to deep passing game. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Whoever Philadelphia plays next week, I haven't looked it up yet, if they come out, and again, Jalen Hurts is way more, if not the starter, because if you're Doug Peterson, you look at that first series that Baldy broke down, and he did an excellent job on it. It is just absolute horrendous quarterbacking play from Carson Wentz.
Well, I mean, look, I understand why Doug's doing it, because, you know, from a strategy standpoint, it's sound to do that at that point. I mean, Seattle is, you know, obviously they did a better job against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals last week, but overall, they have not been good against the pass, and that's why, you know, Seattle went out and got a Carlos Dunlap to come in and try to help, you know, with pass rush and things of that nature. But to me, right now, when you look at this division and with Daniel Jones, and this is something we can now head into the next hour with and get thoughts from the folks here. With Daniel Jones having what appears to be a significant hamstring injury, where it appears Colt McCoy is going to be in charge of the Giants for at minimum a week, if not more, and Carson Wentz and the Eagles struggling. Dallas, you wonder how they bounce back from this disaster from Thanksgiving. Is Washington really the favorite going down the stretch, even though the teams in the East all have terrible schedules?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I dropped this, I think, on Grant and Danny yesterday, and it's what made me think of this when we were kind of discussing something that we wanted to talk about. You look at the Giants going to Seattle, and again, I understand the fans not being there is a huge factor. That is not an easy place to play no matter what, and it's a very long road trip. And again, I'm sure Colt McCoy won't be scared, but the likelihood that Colt McCoy just throws darts all over the place? Probably not likely. And Philadelphia, oh, by the way, has to go to frigid old Lambeau Field and take on the Green Bay Packers. And imagine having to go score for score with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and the rest of the Green Bay offense, right?
And so you're getting those teams at peak efficiency, too, because they're all playing for home field in the NFC right now, trying to – you know, stay, keep up with the Saints as best they can for potential home field in the NFC. So, you know, that's the only thing if I'm, you know, when you look down the stretch here, and that's why, to your point about that game being moved to Monday and then having to come back and play San Francisco, albeit a injury-riddled San Francisco team, it's a short turnaround. But, man, you got San Francisco and you got Philadelphia. You know, there are winnable opportunities out here for this team down the stretch, and maybe six is the magic number, Chris. Maybe six is the magic number.
It could be. I mean, you'd feel better if obviously you can get to seven. You didn't mention Carolina in that. I mean,
that's true.
Probably Christian McCaffrey is back by then, but who knows? Maybe
you don't know. He came back and played one game, and then he went out again.
I know. Who knows? Maybe they just shut him down and just realized this ain't the year, and that's more of a break for Washington in that perspective. But I really feel like, you know, I mean, look, it would be irresponsible for anybody to pick Washington to win this game against Pittsburgh. I mean, maybe they catch him napping, but the bottom line is assuming that it's a loss, you know, I think that 49er game, I don't want to say a must win because it's not necessarily a must win. It's not a division game, but it's a pretty important win because it's then hard again to see them come home after three straight road games and the short week, Palooza and all that stuff, and then have to beat Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. And, you know, we could talk about the rest of the schedule all day long, but I guess to your overall point real quickly here before the top of the hour, in my opinion, and this is only my opinion and it means absolutely nothing, I think the Washington football team are the team to beat in the NFC East.
We'll talk up,
blue shorts.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next hour. 1-800-636-1067. Is Washington now the team to beat with the Eagles struggling, the Cowboys obviously struggling, and now the Giants, as good as they're playing their best football of the season, having to turn to Colt McCoy, at least in the short term, at quarterback? Is Washington the team to beat the rest of the way? 1-800-636-1067. That's how you get us right here on Sports Radio 106.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.